And this is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Mack.
Tens of thousands of students across the country walked out of their classrooms as part of a massive national protest on gun violence spurred by the Florida high school shooting a month ago that left 17 dead. The protests unfolded in major cities across the country, New York, Washington, Chicago, Seattle, and hundreds of smaller towns and communities as well. The walkouts came before a march on Washington, hundreds of thousands of students to the nation's capital, a turnout not seen in size or scope since student protests of the Vietnam War era in the late 1960s.
Building Bridges presents more than a soundbite, but the actual speeches, the hue and cry of the young protesters, along with comprehensive interviews where they tell it like it is for them. The students are saying that their walkouts and demonstrations represent a realization of power and influence by young people raised on social media who have come of age in an era of never-ending wars, highly publicized mass shootings, and virulent national politics.
Let's listen.
My name is Anna, and I'm a senior at the Urban Assembly Institute of Math and Science. Now, I'm not a politician, so I don't know why it's taking our country this long to devise a tactic to solve this problem. When the future voice of the country is denied their basic right to try to innovate a solution, the solution itself is stalled and prevented from being conceived. Who in their right mind passes up the chance to right a wrong that has cost too many people their lives? Now I, as many of us gathered here today, am entering college in the fall. Of the 17 lives lost in Parkland, 14 were young people that were supposed to live on and grow up to eventually do the same, but they won't. They won't walk across the stage to receive their diploma. They won't go to prom and have the best night of their lives. They don't wave their family goodbye on moving day. They won't get to experience and live their lives to the fullest. But I am here today to tell you that I will, and I will do it for them. I will do it for the 17 lives lost in Parkland, for the victims lost in the 33 other mass shootings since the start of 2018. I will do it for those lost in Orlando and those lost in Sandy Hook. Today, I use my voice for them, and I urge everyone else here to do the same. Speak for those who can no longer speak. Grow up for those who can no longer grow. Change the world for those who can no longer see the change. Live the life they can no longer live. On February 14th, 17 people woke up and got ready for school. On February 14th, those same 17 did not go home to their families. This is for them.
My name is James Clinton, and I go to St. Francis College right here on Remsen Street. We all know why we're here today. Aurora, Sandy Hook, Charleston, San Bernardino, Orlando, Las Vegas, Sutherland Springs, and Parkland. Never again! These incidents have now become routine. There are those that tell us these tragedies are inevitable, that they're the price of freedom. We are the only advanced country on earth that watches this level of violence take place in our schools, our churches, our movie theaters, and our concerts. We shed tears, we send our thoughts and prayers, and we move on after the numbness subsides. But this time is different. Thoughts and prayers be damned. We demand action. It has been exactly 1 month since Parkland, and the world is watching. If our politicians in Washington won't take action, then we will. If those in D.C. won't keep our schools safe, then we will. If those in D.C. won't ban weapons of war from entering our streets, then we will. If those in D.C. won't pass universal background checks, we will. If those in D.C. won't free the greatest country on earth from this cycle of violence, we will. Now more than ever, we must come together and demand an end to the status quo. If this generation of politicians won't stand up to the NRA, then we will. We gather here today not as cynics, but as believers. We believe in the ability of our country to end this epidemic, and we believe in ourselves to be the agents of change. We will be the generation to end school shootings. We will be the generation to end mass shootings. Never again!
Hey, hey! Ho-ho! The NRA has got to go!
Hey, hey!
Ho-ho! The NRA has got to go!
Hi, I'm Alex Bavalski, a sophomore at Brooklyn Tech. Many people look at gun violence as some abstraction, some anomaly, or some exception to the norm. A side effect of the freedom that Americans get from the Second Amendment. And the NRA is just there to protect that freedom, right? Guardians of liberty. Well, let's go through the numbers. The Gun Violence Archive, a nonprofit that culls data from 2,500 media, government, and other nonprofit sources, shows that there have been 1,600 incidents where four or more people were shot, excluding the shooters, since Sandy Hook. Approximately 1,800 killed and 6,400 wounded. That's 4 1/3 casualties per day. We're not even including the shootings with less than 4 casualties. You know, the ones that caused 39,000 deaths in 2016 alone, nearly 23,000 of which were suicides. And after each shooting, big or small, and after all the breaking news reports and the thoughts and prayers and crying and moments of silence and protests and funerals and all this, we hear, now is the time to pray for the loved ones of the fallen. Now is not the time to politicize gun violence. Now let's talk about the NRA and gun rights groups that ensure no gun laws ever change. Yeah, who said that? Yeah. In 2015, 54 senators, funded by $37 million from the NRA, voted against stopping people on the government terrorist watch list from buying guns. And then all the anti-gun control people say, oh, you're taking guns from good guys. The NRA has also spent $144 million on outside spending, such as ads for or against politicians. This is unlike direct lobbying because a particular candidate is supported or trashed if it's someone for gun control without any money going to the candidate directly. Additionally, the NRA has spent $46 million of federal lobbying. What's the total? $203 million of political activity. Seems a bit shady for an organization that claims to be for individual rights. Doesn't life come before liberty? How can anyone have freedom if they're at constant risk of being shot by someone on the terrorist watch list or some mentally ill person who never had to go through a background check? Or some avowed racist like Dylann Roof, who shot up the Charleston church in 2015. So what should Congress do? End the gun show loophole and institute universal background checks. Ban assault weapons across the United States. No one needs an AR-15 for self-defense. We did this in 1994 and gun massacres fell by 37%. Once the ban expired in 2004, they rose by 183%. Las Vegas, Orlando, Parkland, San Bernardino, and countless more could have been prevented this way. It's time to put humans before the gun lobby.
They say why vote? I say I vote. And they say why vote? I say
Fatima Uruchi, and I'm the president of a student council at John Jay's College of Criminal Justice in the City University of New York. Today I'm here representing YVote, a new youth voter initiative that helps teens connect their passions and beliefs with how they make a difference both at and beyond the ballot box. Your willingness to defy the status quo and shake things up to make your voice heard gives me hope. It gives me hope that young people can be real change agents pushing agendas that people like us care about. Yes. Yes. If you all are not only the future leaders of tomorrow, but are the leaders of today, the leaders of today, guys. This walkout, this rally, these things are only the start. I'm here today to talk about the importance of voting and being civically engaged. Speaking truth to power means believing in what you say and fighting every day to have that heard. It means taking a risk, but it means standing for something. So with that said, why is it that we're still standing for the abysmal youth voting statistics in this nation? Why is it that we have such a hard time getting young people registered and out to vote? Why is it that in the 2016 presidential election, just 36% of 18 and 19-year-olds voted? In the 2014 midterm election, whose stats are most emblematic of the next election cycle, just 14% of 18 and 19-year-olds voted. 14%! Is that enough? Is that enough? The youth voters are barely turning out to the polls at all. Are you tired? I'm tired of hearing my peers say things like, I'm not going to vote, my vote doesn't really matter anyway, and voting in New York means nothing. Does voting in New York mean something to you? And the list of excuses goes on and on and on. It's frustrating. Having policies made that affect my life and my friends and my family by people I didn't put in office, it's frustrating. So what are we going to do about it, huh? If you're serious about influencing policy and politics, the first step is finding out who represents you, studying up on what they care about, infiltrating their offices as volunteers and interns, getting involved with your local community board, learning the process so you can use it to your advantage and one day running for office. Because who better to represent you than you? If you're frustrated with what's going on in our government, if you wish you were in those rooms debating issues you care about, you belong in those rooms, and don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Through letters and phone calls and elected office, the conversation is yours to own. So let's get to it.
My name is Frankie Comar, and I'm an 8th grader at Packer. It's been over 5 years since 20 first graders and 6 teachers were shot to death in Connecticut's Sandy Hook Elementary School. Almost 2 years since 49 lives were taken by bullets in Florida's Pulse nightclub. Less than 6 months since a whopping 59 people were murdered in Las Vegas. The deadliest mass shooting since 1966. And exactly 1 month since 17 were killed at Majority Stone and Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. While over 400 people have been shot in the more than 200 school shootings that have occurred since 2012, that's just a small piece of the pie. Guns aren't just a problem in schools, they're a problem everywhere. And they are a problem that we will get rid of! Not because we're anti-America and fighting against the Constitution. Because we are pro-America and we want to protect our people! Yes! Guns are just as about American as lynching. They serve as bloody ways for people to bypass the court system, to sentence others to the death penalty without a just trial. And with guns so accessible to the general public, it's now easier than ever. You can legally purchase a gun from a gun show without receiving a background check. You can upgrade so many basic guns to semi-automatic or fully automatic tools capable of taking more lives in mere minutes than any of us can fully comprehend. In some states, it's easier to get a gun than it is to get a driver's license! This has to stop! It's gone on too long! Enough waiting for people to do this for us! Enough standing by while our parents, our sisters, our brothers are being ripped apart by bullets! Enough procrastinating! It's not too late to make change, but we're pushing it. We have to take action now. The blood of too many children has been mopped off of school floors, but these innocent people have not died in vain. We will avenge their death, not by shooting, not by fighting, but by chanting, by marching, by petitioning, by forcing our superiors to rectify the outdated laws that plague this country, so that our lives won't be cut short, so that our children will be able to focus on learning without the fear of gunshots ringing through their classrooms. Because we deserve better than that.
The gun problem in America, the absurd amount of death at the hands of gun violence. We have let politicians know about our demands, and we have heard about gun violence and its relationship to minorities and how it adversely affects them at a rate far greater than it does than our white counterparts. The gun laws in America make no sense and have no place in America currently. We were here to cause change. And we were here to make sure that this tragic event that we were gathered here today for will never happen again, because we know that gun violence in America can be stifled. We know that the AR-15 assault rifle is a killing machine. We know that background checks are absolutely necessary. And we know that being able to evade one at a gun show is unacceptable. And we know that it makes no sense for someone to purchase a weapon at 18. But why? But why don't our politicians know this? I say that it's time we let our politicians know what we think, and it's time that we let them know what we want. It's our time to create change. It's our time to lead the conversation on gun violence. And it's our time to go to the polls this November and vote with our voice. Enough is enough.
Stop the silence and the violence. Stop the silence and the violence. Stop the silence and the violence.
So I know that you all wanted to speak, but didn't get a chance. So now you have your chance. You are?
My name is Fatima Youssef. I'm from Brooklyn Technical High School. I'm a junior and I'm 16 years old. I feel no one really mentioned the cause for gun violence. The majority of acts of violence through guns are committed by men. It's the way that we've raised our boys. It's the way that we've let them down. And now this aggression built up from emotional trauma, for not being able to express any of these emotions before because they gotta be a man, it's firing off every time they fire a bullet of a gun. And we haven't even talked about the victims of gun violence. Like, we always want to say, oh, mentally ill people, we can't have them get their hands on guns because they're gonna shoot up people. But mentally ill people are usually the victims of gun violence, portray them as the perpetrators of it. But we haven't talked about the violence against women and how so many domestic violence cases involve women being shot by guns. I know we want to talk about the AR-15s, and I understand we want to put our anger on one thing, but we need to get change done. If we are not addressing the root causes of all of this, then how are we going to get any change done?
Well, let me take you up on that. I think that's a very astute and fundamental point. Let me push it a little further. We also have a president who, and I see that your friend here is a Muslim sister.
Yes.
Where do you think Donald Trump, where do you think the administration fits into this pattern, this culture of misogyny, of violence against people of color, violence against Muslims, violence against immigrants?
Both her and I are Muslims, actually, and I've noticed the president.
And I should say that's your friend who's standing a couple of inches back from us, looking like she has nothing to do with us.
I feel like the current administration and the administrations before that, they've always loved this idea that Muslims are the ones perpetrating the violence. And there's this whole entire idea that people of color, women, people on the LGBT, people of religious minorities, they're subhuman. This idea of, well, white supremacy in general. A lot of my friends also think in the same way that I do, and we usually have way more in-depth analysis about all of this. It's just, my thoughts are all over the place because it's really cold right now. But you also see, like, other kids who end up writing racial slurs on the walls, graffitiing, drawing swastikas, and just, when we had the walkout at our school, we had a mini, like, counter-protest where telling jokes and laughing along while we had the moment.
These were students from Brooklyn Tech and accounting?
Yes.
That's interesting.
So it's not even like this whole entire ideological discussion, because we have it on both the wide scale of a country where either people don't understand the gravity of the situation, because the victims, they're just seen as nothing. Like, to be able to make a joke
out of it. Where do you go from here? Where do you take it? Where does your friend who continues to inch back from us? Because what do you teach us? What do you teach in society? Where does this need to go next?
I think we need to continue to educate ourselves. You can't have democracy without it. We all have power. We keep acting like they were talking about voting before, how my vote's not going to count. It will count. And we need to start fighting more and more.
What do you think about what your friend said? You see, I can't help but draw you into this.
Yeah,
you started this.
I'm a horrible speaker, but
I doubt that.
But I really do agree with her, and I think that, like, a lot of people, they just don't care enough, and they're not doing enough. But now, today, like, this is going to change everything. I hope, and I hope that the government listens. I hope they all listen, and they don't just, like, you know, throw away this whole project. And hopefully no one else in the future, no more kids have to worry about getting shot in their schools, or, you know, being in danger when they're trying to learn in, like, this world. I hope that never happens again. And if it does, maybe it'll be better in the future.
Gee, for somebody who claims they don't speak so well, I'm deeply moved and impressed. I just, you know, one other thing. Tell me who you are.
Oh, I'm Tasina Khan. I'm a freshman at Brooklyn Tech.
Well, Brooklyn Tech is certainly in the house with the two of you. Just very, very quickly, lastly,
yes.
So what do you think the next step is? What needs to be done?
I think we need to release the energy within our schools, first of all. If we're talking about school gun violence, we need to start reaching out to kids more and more. Because, personally speaking, as someone who has been within the mental health system, in hospitals and stuff, like for my school specifically, we have had a lot of children end up in psychiatric hospitals. And it's not just, like, the fault of the kids. Since it's such a trend, we need to protect our kids not just from forces outside, but from whatever may be harming them from within as well. So we need to reach out to kids more. I think that's the very first step. And then we take it from there.
I think I agree with her, but I also think that the first step is to make it harder to get a gun. Why is it so easy to get a gun? And one of the features in some states, it's easier to get a gun than it is to get a license. And that's crazy. So, I mean, before everyone starts fighting, I think first we should get harder tests to make it harder to get a gun. But I do think that, I don't think a lot of people need guns.
Yeah, you think we need teachers who are even better in the schools. We don't need teachers with guns. Oh, my
guns.
Gosh.
And, like, to arm teachers with guns, like, we, especially within, like, within the, when we talk about racism, the fact that we've had students in classes who have, you know, just for, like, talking or chewing gum or something, being pulled out of their desks, slammed onto the ground, and handcuffed and taken away by the police. So, and there are so many other disciplinary measures taken, especially against black students. And I'm kind of weary of arming certain teachers with guns.
Good.
Because
yes.
I feel, I don't trust them.
Yeah, I don't think that people just forget that, you know, some teachers can have mental illnesses.
But it's not even like mentally ill people are usually.
Yeah, it's not only. Yeah.
So you don't have to be mentally ill to kill people.
But I agree. I'm sorry. But,
well, I want to thank both of you. Obviously, the dialogue continues.
Yeah.
It was a delight meeting both of you. And, you know, as they said in a number of struggles in years past, La Luta Continua, which was in Portuguese, the struggle does continue.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And tell us again who you are.
I'm Fadwa Yusuf. I'm Tasina Khan.
And out of the mouth of babes. And as they say, a child will lead. This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.